we're glad to have those topics in front of us. Today is a topic that is part of Paul's writing. He wanted to remind people in regard to the way that they live would be the way that God would have them to live. And in Romans chapter 15 at verse 4, he tells us that God gave them examples that they could see what he really meant by what he said. In Romans 15 verse 4, it is noted to you and to me, the things written before time were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The idea here is the things written before time, written for us to learn from those things. If we know the account of Cain and Abel, if we know the account of Noah and the ark, if we know the account of Isaiah and his work with the ideals of his day and time, then we're better able to resist some temptations in our day and time. For we know that those things were written for us to learn by them. Why, when we have the example of Simon there sinning against God and desiring to buy the power of the apostleship there in Acts chapter 8 with money, and he's told, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Thy heart is not right with God." It was the case that he understood, and we can understand today, because he said, "Pray you to the Lord for me, that none of these things you've spoken may come upon me." And as a result of that, he learned to be restored to the Lord, not by going back and being rebaptized over and over again when he had sinned, but by repentance and prayer, he could be restored to his rightful relationship with the Lord. The Lord would forgive him if he did that very thing. Thus, we can benefit today from the things that are taught us in God's Word. If we'll pay attention to the things that are taught us, we will be people who will practice the way of life that he has taught us. And as a result of that, we can be servants of God, faithful to his way. Passage that we utilized this morning there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 in our Bible class time. A passage from Paul himself. "I have fought a good fight," he said. "I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." Where are we in our lives? Are we people who love the Lord's coming again? We're looking forward to his coming again. You know, Jesus plainly said, "I'll come as a thief in the night." You'll never know exactly the moment in time. It'll be the case that as a thief comes in the night, unprepared for him and for his venture of evil upon us, the Lord will come for a purpose to reward us. And he'll come in a certain way. Will we be coming at the end of a tirade that we put on with our words that we've spoken? Will he come at the end of a terrible kicking that we have done to somebody that we presume was an enemy and we treated them that way? Will he come at the end of a worship service that I was in but I didn't pay attention because I was into my games on my computer, on my phone, and I didn't really pay attention? Will he come then? Will he come at a time in which my family sits down at dinner and we sit down to eat together and not a word of thanks to God was ever spoken? Not a word of appreciation for anybody was talked about in heaven? And he will come again. As a thief in the night, he said he would come. As a thief is not announced coming, he suddenly shows, suddenly he's there. Lights or no lights, bells or no bells, whistles or no whistles, he is suddenly there. And as a result, Jesus said, as they came in the dead of the night, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. He said, "I don't know the day nor the hour, only my Father knows. But my Father will send me at that time. And whenever he sends me, he'll send me in the midst of a day or a night that they think not will happen." Well, are there certain days we say, it's going on today, the ball game's happening today, the event's taking place today, and surely the Lord would come today? Well, he could come that very day, in a day and an hour that we think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let's be prepared for that day and hour. And as we learn from the God's Word, we find ourselves being better prepared for that day and hour. In Romans 15, verse 4, when he says the things written before time were written for our learning, he has talked about the way that we should live back in Romans chapter 12. He said, brethren, I present you, I beseech you, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This now is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove to yourself and others, that you may prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does he say there? He says Jesus came and taught us a way that's different than animal sacrifices. He taught us a way that's different than the ritual of the old law. Galatians 5 and verse 4, Paul will later write, if you try to be justified by the works of the law, you have fallen from grace. Last week in our study of the topics, we were talking about some of this particular matter. And we were speaking in regard to the idea that you and I find ourselves following after a way that is ungodly, a way that is not righteous, a way that is not filled with goodness. If we find ourselves examining things written before time, we can learn from those things. And we can now do, as Paul said there, present our bodies as a living sacrifice. The Lord did not wish us to think that this bread is just the body of Jesus. It represents the body of Jesus. He did not want us to think that this fruit of the vine is just grape juice or just that way of life. He wanted us to think of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the remission of our sins. As we are spiritual beings, we think of these songs as songs that adventure the spiritual meaning to our hearts and lives. As we have prayers offered that we listen to, and we frequently say amen at the thoughts that are being presented, God, so let this be. We want to be spiritually minded people as we do this sort of thing. And as we do this, we keep growing in the way of the Lord. What kind of spiritual thing is involved if we neglect the assembly together? I know that a goodly number, and we're so thankful for the number that shows on Sunday mornings. But I know that you would note on the board over there that we have half the number to be back on Sunday night. And a third of the number to be back on Wednesday evenings. Our assembly times and gathering times, do we know enough of God's Word already? Do we find ourselves involved with His Word? Now, I know that sometimes it involves darkness, and I know that it involves driving, and I don't want anybody to be here terribly hurt by way of an accident to take place because I cannot see as closely as in the daylight. I realize that that takes place. But also realize that we can pray for and ask questions about what took place at that service that I missed, what took place in that class that I was not in, what took place in that worship event that took place that I wasn't attending. We can find ourselves growing in the spiritual way of the Lord. Have we grown enough that I can avoid certain things in my life? I can avoid that night service. I can avoid that class time. I can avoid that event that takes place. But when gospel meetings are held, it's to help us to, in 1 week's time, gain a greater knowledge and a greater awareness of what the Lord has said in His Word. Now let me go back to this passage in Romans chapter 12 and mention this. Whether it is a lecture program that is ongoing, a special teacher's event that takes place, a special gospel meeting that is presented, or a regular service, I present your bodies, Romans 12, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What am I sacrificing? I'm presenting my body to sacrifice my time in front of the television set, my time in going to the movie instead, my time for going up, visiting somebody, just for the purpose of having fun in my family. What am I going to do with my life that way? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And do not conform yourself. Don't be conformed to the world in which we live. The world has always offered theater. The Romans had those theaters and they hurt people, fed them to the animals that were there, that their lives might be taken in the arena. We've always had the Colosseums and the arenas and the places where there were theaters being done. Theater arts are there. In fact, one of those words that comes out of those theater arts are the words that we know very well in our day and time. It's the word for hypocrite. Someone who wears a mask. In the theater, he wore a mask. As a result of wearing that mask, he played the role of a villain, played the role of someone he was not. Our little grandson this weekend, we got to see him play the role of an Indian chief in Peter Pan. Well, he's playing a role. He had a big feather helmet on and everything. He had the clothing that he was on for a chief. And he spoke to people and had authority over them in the cast of the actors that were there. Well, he was playing a role. And the Lord says through his word that we find ourselves serving him sometime as hypocrites, playing a role. We're playing like we're worshiping. We're bowing like we're praying. We're playing a role in life. And the things written for a time were written for us to learn from those things. There were people in the past that did those things. And what did God say about them? He was not pleased with them doing that. God is only looking to the things that we say and do. We find ourselves in the writing of God's word over and over again, seeing that his eyes are over the righteous and his ears are always open to their prayers. He knows what's going on in your life and mine, and there are big troubles in some of our lives that are going on. And if you don't have those troubles yet, just wait a little while and they'll show up. They'll be around you, and you need to have a word of prayer. When we ask our young people about those words of prayer, and they say things like, well, I guess I prayed maybe last Sunday. And I ask questions of these young people as we go along and say, did you have school last week? Oh, yes. You making good grades in school? Yes, we're making good grades. Good grades in school, wonderful thing. We have every year, at the end of school year, we print up a page of all the successes done, A's that are being done, and all this sort of thing. Good studies that are being had. All right? Did you have a test last week in school? Would it have been a good thing to ask God to present you with a clear mind when you went into that classroom for that test to take place so that you would do well and not be as tired and worn out and hope that you made a good grade otherwise? Would it be a good thing for you to have a person in your classroom that was sick last week? Somebody not show up in class because they had an illness at home, or the illness took them to the doctor and so forth. Oh, yeah. Would it have been a good thing to mention somebody that your friend in class that had sickness and illness in a word of prayer to the Lord about their mending, about the medicines working so well, about them being people who were happy in life, for happiness on a person's face is worth medicine. Yes. And pray about them. More than just on last Sunday. Let's be people of prayer throughout the week of time. Throughout the events of our driving. Throughout the events of our shopping. Lord knows that throughout our time of gathering at a worship service, a prayer coming in that we'll be safe here and safe as we leave today, certainly can be said based on the things that have happened the last few weeks of time. Be people who are prayerful. This goes all the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. God says, I want you to teach your children. First off, he said, I want you to have me, the Lord, upon your heart. He asked them to have the Lord upon their heart. And teach these things diligently unto thy children. Teach them day by day. Teach them as they arrive in the morning. Teach them as they go out during the day. Teach them as they walk along the lanes of the city. Let me be as frontlets before their eyes, these special bands that say, the Lord, Jehovah, reigneth. He said, do that. Remind them of. And he said, as you talk to those children, remind them of why this is important. Because they will ask someday, how did we get here in this land of blessing? How did we get here in this land of prosperity? And you will say to them, the Lord our God brought us by strong hand to this land. We didn't have vast armies to defend us. We didn't have vast armies to fight for us. We didn't have great victories over the conquest of these people around us by our own might. It was our God who by a strong arm brought us and delivered us to this land. They will remember me. Is it the case that as the years have come and gone here among us, there are a lot of people living right today within just a few blocks and a few miles in virtually every direction, north, south, east, west, who grew up here. Were they taught? Oh, yes, they were taught things. I know they were taught things because there in the foyer, you see the plaques that they won when they went to the Bible Bowls in those days. And you see the plaques that they won when they went to this, that, and the other of events of competition among members of the church in other places. But what was it they didn't learn? Did they not learn why we gather to worship the Lord? Why this, the body of Christ, was to be reminded to us, and the blood of Christ was to be reminded to us? Why do we gather to worship? Or did we sum it up in just the word, I'd like for you to go to church with me. You better go to church with me. But the why of worship was hardly ever spoken about. The things written aforetime were written for our learning. God said back there in Deuteronomy 6, I want them to know because I, the Lord, am upon your heart. And I want you to teach these things diligently. I want them, when they ask you, how did we come to this wonderful land of bounty, to tell them, not by our might, not by our power, the Lord our God delivered us to this outstanding land. As we do that, we'll find ourselves growing spiritually in prayer, growing spiritually in worship, and growing in a way that will help others to realize that we really are to serve God. When you come together And someone says, well, did you notice the nice set of clothes this person had on? Did you notice the black coat that he had on, the black tie that was there? That'll be secondary to the worship of God that was there, that was meaningful and helpful to my soul. My eyes, oh yeah, I remember some things my eyes saw. But my soul was helped by what was said that day. What a blessing it is to be with you today and to be a part of this service with you. May God bless you as we follow up. As we sing this song of invitation this morning that's been selected, beware of the fact that all things are ready for you to obey the gospel of Christ today or during this week of time. If you have another day, be sure to be a person who comes and be baptized into Christ, for that was the teaching given to us on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Repent ye, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins.